Norster Kenius.
That was like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketing! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that. And
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not bob at me, Kenny! Do not bob at me!
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 92 of Green the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Thursday, February 11th, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about Pominville, Vanek, Suter, and everything else that is wrong with the wild. In the studio with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Good evening.
We've got a little early week here. You know, how was your couple days off from the podcast?
I think I still hurt from Tuesday.
Yeah, that was a. Me and Kenny ended up going to the wild game. It was a rough time. Yeah, not beyond just the loss. I mean,
yeah,
definitely.
Many adult beverages were imbibed. I don't think either of us remember the Uber ride back to my place.
No, but we were responsible.
We were responsible, and there's cake in my refrigerator. I don't remember
where did we get cake from. We had cake.
We didn't go to Edina. I know that.
There's seriously cake in your refrigerator?
Yeah, seriously.
At least it made it in the fridge.
I Larissa's like, where did the cake come from? Like,
where did the cake come from?
That is like, I think the cake is a lie. So
it's a good question.
Okay, well, you know, but before we get too far into things here, I'd just like to remind you, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at 3inthebox. So let's talk about the wild here.
Yeah, so we haven't been gone long, but that doesn't mean that the Wild didn't continue losing. Another 3-on-3 loss in OT to Dallas that you guys were fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to be in attendance for.
You called it. It went to overtime.
Did go to overtime.
You just were on the wrong side of that one.
Yeah, I should have known with the way their stats are going for those 3-on-3 overtimes. And then tonight they followed it up. I mean, they played a good Capitals team. Obviously, there haven't been a lot of teams that have beat them. But, yeah, we ended up losing to Ovechkin. And
really, Ovechkin beat us.
I mean, with his hat trick tonight.
14th career hat trick for Ovechkin.
Well, Ovechkin beat us, and we beat ourselves. Really.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Out of all the things that are going wrong, I mean, one thing that I guess we could point out is the 3-on-3. So, I mean, we had one against Dallas here this week. What's going on with the 3-on-3s? I mean, I could understand if you lose some, most of them, but I mean, they've lost damn near all of them.
I mean, there's a couple problems. I mean, the one specifically on Tuesday, Vanek was out there on the ice for like 70 seconds. He missed a line change. And Vanek is not fast as it is.
Right. Yeah, you can't have guys dogging on a 3-on-3.
You know, so you have a guy who dogs it and he's already going to be gassed. I mean, of course, you know, that's not going to set us up for anything good. And I think it was Felska, that's at State of Hockey News. I think he pointed out, you know, at what point is Yo going to put someone like Halla or Fontaine? Some guys with speed out there on the 3-on-3.
Speed? Open ice? That's a heck of a concept.
And you know, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I remember when we first talked about 3-on-3 this offseason, you know, I was like, maybe this will benefit the Wild because we've got speedier guys. We got guys, a few European guys that are a little used to a little more open ice, but we don't seem to play that way once it comes to 3-on-3.
Right.
For whatever reason, you know.
As great of a player as Parise is, I mean, I know he's got speed, but the type of game that he plays, you know, I don't think that bodes well in the 3-on-3.
In 3-on-3, you're not really scrappy.
No.
You know, he makes him great for when we've got.
Oh, he's the hardest working guy in the Wild. I'm not taking anything away from him.
When you've got a sheet of ice full of players, Parisi's the one you want out there because he'll be in the spots that'll score goals.
Yep.
But when you got a lot of open ice, you know, it's a little unfair to say it, but, you know, look at, you know, the shootout. He's not nearly as good on the shootout as he is, you know, when he gets those chances,
getting in the gritty spots and forcing the puck in.
That's his game, and he's really, really good at that. But
that being said, I do think he has like a ton of shootout goals. I think he's one of the top players, you know, since they brought, you know, made the shootout part of hockey.
Yeah.
You know, as a regular thing, he's got a lot of shootout goals. That being said, though, his skill is a little different than you know, say someone like
Zucker.
Zucker, he had that spurt where he was getting the goals right off the faceoff, and I think that was more of a opposing goalie not being prepared for a shot that quick.
Right.
I don't think he's quite has the shot, you know, but for like a faceoff type situation.
He's got the speed.
That's,
I mean, that's part of what it is, especially with the 3-on-3. You got to look to things are already open, so it should be, you know, if you got a little bit of speed and you can break away from, you know, that one guy, it's not like there's a lot clogging things up. You should be able to break free. You need speed. You need guys
with good hands. You need guys with fast shots. You know, you're as much as I love Granlund, you know, his shot is I don't love Pominville, but, you know, those are two guys that don't have very fast shots, and they're not going to be fooling a whole lot of goalies with all that open ice.
Nope.
You know, you probably want a guy like Granlund out there to dish it off to other guys to create those chances, but you need someone who's going to be able to hit that shot and make it quick.
You could say the same with Zucker, though, going in, you know, just having the speed to, you know, create like a 2-on-1 type situation.
Right.
You know, where he might not be getting the goal, but definitely as a setup guy, getting down there to distract the goalie with, you know, coming down that fast.
Right.
Yeah. So, well, sounds like we're in a consensus here, though, that we maybe would like to see a little bit more speed within our 3-on-3. I mean, so they got to try something.
Look at how long it took them to even change the power play, and it's not even that changed. I mean, Pominville's still out there all the time, and he's not doing jack, you know.
Well, Pominville get more ice time than he deserves, in my humble opinion.
I've got no faith in this coaching staff to actually make tough choices and hurt someone's feelings.
Right. Well, speaking of coaches and Pominville, who do you guys think might be next on the block for the next healthy scratch? Well, who's the next Vanek and Zucker?
Someone under 25, probably. Because it's not going to be Vanek. Well, I mean, it could be Vanek again, I guess. Because he's already been scratched once, so why not? You're not really hurting anything by scratching him again. But
what about Nino?
I mean, Nino has been he's been absent, right? I mean, he's been invisible.
He hasn't done much.
Definitely not a difference maker.
At the end of the day, there's plenty of blame to go around. I mean,
oh yeah.
There's aside from like Coyle,
Coyle is probably the one bright light on this season.
I think Hall has been stepping up his game.
Fair enough.
Hall's game has been good.
Hall has been pretty solid last, you know, handful of games, and you have an easy argument saying Hall, Coyle, those guys are guys you don't scratch. But outside of them,
I mean, you're not going to see Parisi getting scratched.
You're not going to see Suter getting scratched.
They can't do that.
I guess you really can't do that.
I mean, as much as Suter is stunk, because tonight, I mean, I'm pretty sure like the word is out on Suter. You chase him because he'll skate so slow and he'll do stuff, you know, back behind near the net, and he'll give up the puck or he'll rush something. I mean, he plays so slow that people are exploiting it now.
So again, though, I mean, I think we talked about this last, well, a couple of days ago. Is it just him getting too much ice time that he's just trying to conserve energy? Is that just a coaching mistake?
I think it's just the way he plays, to be honest. I mean,
yeah, I think that's his style. I think, you know, he's definitely got like a, you know, a little taller, lankier build. So I think that that tends to look as though he's coasting a lot too. But no, you definitely, you don't see the, like that fiery hustle.
No.
From him ever, you know?
No, you don't.
So now, I don't know. You say that, it, you know, might that people might, you know, tend to rush him and stuff and, you know, think that he'll make mistakes. And yes, I guess maybe he's been a little bit more error prone this year. But I think that part of, you know, like his game style is, you know, he is even keel, you know.
Right. But the problem is that we've got enough even keel guys. We don't have enough guys with fire, and one, you know, we've got two of our, you know, captains basically are those even keel guys, and Parisi is still, you know, he's got scrappiness, but he's not really a fiery guy. I wouldn't say, you know, we've got, it almost feels like there's almost zero passion out on the ice.
I can agree with that. And I don't know if it's, you know, something that's going on behind the scenes that, you know, we aren't, you know, privy to seeing, you know, that if there's, you know, animosity amongst the teammates within the locker room. I mean, these are all things that, you know, as fans, we aren't going to see. And
we just see the losses adding up right now.
Well, right. And it's, you know, frustrating for us, frustrating for them, I'm sure, too. And, you know, I know when I'm frustrated with you guys, you know, it's, you know, heads are going to start to knock, right?
A little bit.
Yeah,
possibly. Well, you know, speaking of people being frustrated, our good old friend Zenon Konopka, he tweets out hashtag yo must go, as well as a nice little sign that he taped to his damn rodent hoppy.
Yo.
We're coming up on the Easter. I think we need like a bunny sample.
So basically, apparently Konopka does not like, thinks it's time for Yo to go. And apparently he's even using his rabbit as a means to show that he thinks Yo should go. Yo, in response, said that he doesn't care what Konopka has to say. And he was disappointed in Hoppy, though, which I thought was actually pretty funny. A little bit of levity there.
Right.
So really,
at least Yo still got a little sense of humor.
right. You know, but so
what stage of grief is that?
I don't know. I did hear a comment from Yo though. I think it was earlier today, actually. You know, because I'm sure he's getting hounded. You know, if asking him if he thinks his job is safe, and you know, he laid it out straight. He said, "I'm really not worried about my job right now. What I'm worried about is, you know, winning the Stanley Cup." So, you know, actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
So you're saying you do or do not agree with Konopka and that it's time for go, for Yo to go.
For Yo to go. Not right now. I'm not a guy who's going to say pull the plug mid-season. I mean, if the season is starting to tank, the season is starting to tank. You know, we've had slumps before. Usually it's earlier, like in December,
right,
where we see a horrible slump like this. And I mean, this is a Minnesota team. This is what they do. Yeah.
Well, we got, 28 regular season games left?
Yeah.
It could be 28 very painful games to watch. But, yeah, I think some mix-up in the other coaching staff might be a better way to go.
Well, and that's actually leads to my point, is that, sure, you could fire Yo right now, but who you're going to replace him with, I know we talked about that last week.
Darby Hendrickson, he'll be the new head coach.
But the problem is that this team is...
Saw Todd Richards worked out.
the problem is if you would probably end up replacing him with a guy who's in-house right now.
Right.
And...
Is it worth the shakeup?
Well, not only that, but, you know, the thing is this team is playing poorly right now. They're better than they're playing. We know they can play better than they're playing right now.
That's probably why this is all so frustrating.
They're going to rebound. Mm-hmm. And do we want the rebound to happen with another in-house guy? And then
he looks real good.
He looks real good. And then we're playing with the same damn system for another 5 years until we realize that that guy is just as terrible.
Right.
At least that's why I'm looking at it. I mean, I'm thinking we ride out Yo. If we, you know, let the chips fall where they may, you know, either we make the playoffs or we don't. You know, it is what it is.
Easy decision at that time.
Well, in that way, there'll be out of the organization candidates that will be available, mm-hmm. you know, and
see what other coaches get fired at the end of the season.
See if Fletcher's even still around at the end of the season.
Wait, you know? Who's he? Is he even coaching anybody right now?
No, Chuck Fletcher.
Oh, sorry. Jive said, yeah, never mind.
So, I mean, there's, we'll have to see where things happen. And I think right now it's, if we're talking about firing Yo after like the first couple weeks of the season, because they're just tanking it to begin with. Okay,
that's
sure.
Still early enough. We're very late in the season to be pulling pranks like that.
Right. I mean, at this point, whoever comes in, they're probably going to see a better record just because we know this team is playing below their talent level. Even if you don't think they're a Stanley Cup winning team, you figure they're at least a cusp team,
yeah.
You know, and whoever would come in will get wins that aren't really theirs is the way I look at it.
And if Yo goes, I think somebody mentioned Fletcher. I mean, I'm pretty sure Fletcher is going to be out the door too. So it's then at that point.
I don't think so. I think Fletcher will be around for at least another head coach.
Yeah. Huh? Maybe. I guess, I don't know. I think that Fletcher's been given, you know, opportunities. He's been given a couple different playing styles. The well's starting to dry up down in Iowa there. Right. And he's
made some... I mean, he really hasn't made a whole lot of great moves as a GM. No. You know, the obvious bad one was Leddy for Cam frickin' Barker. You know, there's he's not been some and sort
are,
of
are we kind
savior.
Of sitting out of picks right now too?
Yeah, we he's traded away a lot of our picks at this point.
Which his whole game plan was to start getting some picks to get the development going.
Right, and you know, you can make the argument that those picks that are rounds three and up are a little more crapshooty, which I get. But, you know, when you're trading first rounders and second rounders, those are the ones where you start going, okay, those are the ones you build a team off of where you can get some talent in the draft.
And that's why, I mean, I know I've heard a lot of rumors like that, you know, people think we should, you know, put Dumba out there as, you know, young of a player as he is, and you know, people think we can seem to get you know some pretty good value for him, and I can agree with that. But we need a defenseman like that can actually score. I mean, I think that you give somebody like Dumba a little bit more time,
or give him some guys that will actually get in front of the net and you know
right.
screen. Yeah,
because right now we're playing a perimeter game and we're terrible at it.
I gotta say though, if Dumba's shooting at the net, I don't want to stand in front of it.
That's fair. So anyway, back to Kanapka, though. So it seems like we're kind of like, you know, toss-up as far as Yo. I mean, I think we all agree that Yo's days might be numbered. But do you also think that maybe Kanapka's just kind of holding a grudge, considering, you know, he was shipped back out after we got him, you know,
probably a little bit of a grudge, but he probably, you know, speaks from a little bit of knowledge as well. I mean, he's been on the team. He played in the system.
He was a fourth line guy.
Yeah. But you're on the ice with these guys, you know, right. How they play. So I think that he would probably actually be a pretty good gauge of the talent that is on the ice. And, you know, I guess I mean, it probably is a little bit of a grudge, but I think that, I don't know, he just found the opening there to pick at you in this time.
It's very convenient.
Yeah.
He's sitting in his winery.
Sitting in his winery.
With Hoppy going, how can we troll Yo?
Weren't we? I seem to recall talking about his wine at one point and saying it was probably like prison wine, like toilet wine.
I don't know.
I seem to recall this discussion. I don't know why, but.
Yeah.
This might have been from like a few seasons ago.
It would have been, yeah.
It's weird how like all these old Minnesota Wild players keep popping up this year.
It is.
I mean, we had John Scott.
Yeah.
Burnsy, which, I mean, I think Burnsy we talk about every year. Every time we play San Jose, going, oh, man, I miss that guy. Now Konopka.
You can even go back even further because we've talked about Modano this year as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, he never played for the Wild.
He played for Minnesota NHL team, though.
He played for the North Stars.
And yeah. Briz, even though he only played a few games for us, really.
Humanga's big.
I think we always mention him.
Yep.
At any chance we can.
Yep.
Let's do some Twitter talk here. So first question is from Teresa Ferris at MNSota24. And Teresa's questions are always great. The losses of the Wild are like that dumb pop song that gets stuck in your head. What bad pop song are the Wild currently? Kenny.
Well, I'm doing a double here because I'm going to Rickroll all of you guys. And say, never going to give you up, never going to let you down.
A little Rick Astley.
Little Rick Astley. And it's just like that. The season starts off great, and then it's like the rug gets pulled out from underneath you, and you're watching. You just got Rickrolled.
But you're not going to give up.
But, well, you know, the team keeps saying that.
Well, fair enough. So I think my song has got to be Britney Spears' Toxic. I don't think any really needed to explain that one at all, honestly.
No.
John, what are you thinking?
I'm going to go back to the 80s with Kenny. Me, though, I'm going to go with a little bit of nice hair metal, a little bit of Poison. Every rose has its thorn.
Ooh.
They're the thorn in my side almost right now, you know? So, you guys want to hear a little?
No.
No.
Okay.
Wow. No.
No.
Okay. Next
so,
up.
From State of Hockey, that's at, no, not to be confused with Derek Felska, State of Hockey. This is State of Hockey at Mini Puck 2027. When do we win again? That's a nice, straightforward, blunt question.
I think that's what the question that all of us are wondering.
Let's look at the schedule.
Next few games, we've got
Bruins
at the Wild.
Nope. Canucks.
Maybe. On the road, Wild. On the road.
On the road. Although we've been playing okay against Vancouver.
Nope.
at Flames at the Saddle Dome. Maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah.
At Edmonton. Potentially.
Nope. Not, they got McJesus back. I don't know.
Blackhawks here.
Nope.
Nope.
Islanders here.
Ooh.
Nope.
At the Flyers?
Nope.
At the Capitals?
Nope.
Panthers here?
Ooh. I will take that.
Oh, yeah?
That.
Yeah.
Okay, that puts us to the end of February. So maybe by the end of February we'll see a win, maybe two.
Yeah, I think that at least that Panthers game, I think that's a winnable game, right?
We think it is.
It is a 2 o'clock game on a Sunday.
In Minnesota?
In Minnesota.
Okay. Then I'll give it to us.
And they have a day off between that and their last game, previous game.
So if the Wild lose up until that game, is Yo still the coach?
Good question.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. So there you have it. We're hoping for one, maybe two by the end of February.
All right.
And actually leads into our next question a little bit.
Okay. Our next question comes in from Derek Felska at State of Hockey News.
Well, I love how we just made him, like, acidic. Like, and he's not, by any means.
So Derek's question, though, is the Wild have showed a little more effort as of late. Will the Wild earn a home victory in February?
So we're saying basically the last day of February, the Wild should win that one.
They should win one at home.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, because really we only have four more home games the rest of the month.
Yeah, we have Boston here. We have Baston. Those massholes. We have Blackhawks here. That's for the outdoor game.
Yep.
That's the stadium series. And then the Islanders are here. And then the Panthers are here. So, yeah, maybe.
And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not even that confident about the Panthers. So,
oh, boy.
So that could be a no. But there's a couple of possibilities.
Maybe the Islanders? I don't know. I don't feel very... That's the thing. This team is so bad right now. It's like there's... You know, there's zero confidence in that we can pull anything off.
Ooh, it's a tough sell.
It is a very tough sell.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, the Oilers, I think, are still sitting bottom of the league, barely.
Yeah, but like I said, though, they got McJesus back, so, you know.
Oh, you know, Panthers are actually leading their conference right now, too, so I'm going to take that as
exactly.
A, no. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, we pretty much went through all the upcoming. So, who's... So, with that, Jive.
Should we get into the game of the week?
Yeah, let's talk about the game of the week.
So, the game of the week. We got about a week and a half to cover here. So, some might think that I would choose something like the outdoor game. I know I was kind of challenged by Norster Kenius here. Because I think he thinks he can call that game. But, you know, I wanted to go with something where we can at least say the Wild can win, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Wild at the Flames in the, what is that, the Saddle Dome? Is that where they still play?
Yep, that's the Saddle Dome.
I think the in the Saddle
Dome. No, that's the Rexall.
Is it the Rexall?
Yeah, Calgary's in the Saddle Dome.
Yeah, it's the Flames.
Flames, sorry.
Yeah.
What do you think? In Atlanta?
No, I thought it was the Oilers game. Sorry.
Oh. No.
Okay. Sorry.
So, yes, I'm picking the Wild to win this one. Back in the saddle again.
Oh.
5-3.
Picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing.
All right. Aaron, you want to take the next one?
Sure. You know, I'm going to go with the Wild winning. The Flames are a flaming pile right now. Probably worse than the Wild.
So we're in good company then.
Equally as bad.
Except for we probably have more talent, I think.
Yes.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
So I'm going the Wild winning. Since we can't score normally more than two goals, I'm going a 2-1 win.
All right.
Hey, let me just remind you, we scored three goals tonight.
Against Washington.
Hey,
Holtby.
That's pretty impressive.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
You know, and
we are an offensive powerhouse.
All I'm saying is someone's drinking Kool-Aid right now, and it isn't this guy.
The purple Kool-Aid.
I'm sipping on some scissor.
Why don't we have that for a sample? All right, I'm gonna jump on the bandwagon.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Wild win. I do, however, think that they can put up more than two goals, and I'm gonna go with a 3-1 win over the Flames.
All right, so it's a consensus.
Woo woo!
The Wild are gonna get a win. You heard it here first.
One win in February. All right. So this is a nice little abbreviated show, I think.
Yeah.
We'll have a nice long one after the we'll have the stadium series in the next podcast.
Yeah, but we'll be recording that on the day of the game. So.
Yeah, so everything will be fresh in our minds on how much we still hate Pierre.
Yep, so it was that I'm blanking on the date, but that'll be our
21st.
21st. That'll be our next podcast. We're taking this Sunday off because I will be out of town.
He's going to be trying to romance his sweetheart.
I'm going to be going to the Pinball Hall of Fame in Las Vegas, Nevada.
With your sweetheart?
Probably.
Yeah.
She will not be enjoying it nearly as much as I am.
She's not going to play with
your
balls.
Wait, that's what she said.
That's what she said.
Wow.
Oh, boy. That can go so many different ways. Oh, boy. Well, you know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games with 3 in the Box, and again, that's at 3 in the Box on Twitter, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Kenny, where can people find you?
You can find me at about.me/IamKenny. That is K-E-N-N-E-Y, with links to my Twitter, Instagram stuff, which I actually was, I'm surprised, was kind of light Tuesday. I went back to look at pictures, and all I found were the after party that I don't remember taking pictures with.
I have one picture of me signing your receipt at the bar we went to, and it was the worst non-signature ever.
You could have just put an X.
I could have, but I felt like...
Can I argue that now?
You don't really need to sign those.
No you don't. But I felt obligated to sign it for Kenny since he was barely able to talk.
Which is why it's funny. I mean, they make you sign the, even those the electronic boards... And I don't know about you guys, but my signature never looks like my normal signature on those things. And
my normal signature now is just garbage. Yeah. So I just do the same thing.
It doesn't matter.
No, I actually found it crazy. There's a local pizza company around here that I had ordered from like a couple of weeks ago. The dude pulled out an iPhone. You signed the iPhone, and then all of a sudden it emailed you your receipt with your signature as like a ping.
Mm-hmm. It's becoming more common. Anyway, Jive, where can people find you?
You can find me. I'm on about.me/HeyJive. I think that about wraps it up.
Oh, yeah. Good night.
Did you see that ludicrous display last night?